Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter number 18. The book of Acts in chapter number 18. We are continuing with our series of the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. And we're traveling with the Apostle Paul and visiting people that he's visiting, examining lives just watching as God is using this man who just surrendered himself and said, God, what would you have me to do? And it just so happens on this Father's Day that we run into a married couple that the Apostle Paul runs into, and they become an integral part of what God does with the Apostle Paul. And so it's appropriate that we'll take some time today and do a character study on these married couple that God uses to encourage the Apostle Paul quite a bit. And so if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Acts chapter number 18. The book of Acts chapter number 18, and let's pick it up in verse number 1. Acts chapter 18 and verse number 1. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded that all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, and for their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And if you're in the habit of marking things, would you mark two names that we find in the book of Acts chapter 18? Acts chapter 18 and verse number 2, notice the word Aquila, and then we see his wife's name, Priscilla. And from here on out, everywhere in the scripture, you always see them together, Aquila and Priscilla. Aquila and Priscilla. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God, a God who's worthy to be worshiped and worthy to be served. And as we come up to you today, we're just asking, Lord, that you would open up our minds as we examine the scriptures, that you would help us to clearly see the life of this married couple, and that it would encourage us in our own homes to be dedicated and to follow after you. Lord, I recognize in myself right now my need of you. I ask that you help me to die to self. Lay my will down. I give you my thoughts, my desires, my goals. Don't let anything that I have of my flesh and my being, my desire, my will, to be a hindrance, to be in the way of what you want accomplished. I reckon myself dead. Fill me with your Spirit. And you encourage homes and lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The building block of any society is a home. And that when you have strong homes, you have a strong society. The same thing's true with the church. The building block of any church is the home. And so when you have strong homes, you have strong churches. And one of the fights that we have today, because Satan knows this too, is that there is a war on the home. There is a war on the home. And we don't want to give just tons of statistics today, but the statistics are appalling about how the state of homes are. And by the way, I don't have to give you statistics. You could look within those around you. Every single one of us are affected some way or somehow by homes that are broken, homes that are weak, homes that have people going in different directions in the same home. That we understand that today, one of the big labors we have is to help encourage and to strengthen homes. Because homes make it all. When we have turmoil in the homes, it brings turmoil in society. When you have turmoils in home, it even affects a church. And so this is one of the fights that we have. And praise the Lord that there are godly examples of some people that inside of a church framework who have decided that it's for them and their home, they're going to serve the Lord and they're going to serve the Lord together. And Aquila and Priscilla is one of those families. Now, sometimes we get in our minds that we take the Bible out of context and we look at these people and we think of them as superheroes and that it's easy to be them. And man, if I lived in that time, it'd be much easier. You know, we look at America today and we boohoo about the things that we see in America. Oh, it's hard to be a Christian now. It's hard to serve God now. Well, let me tell you where Aquila and Priscilla is. They are found in a place in verse number 1 called Corinth. After these things, Paul departed to Athens and came to Corinth. And while he's there at Corinth, he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla. And you know why they're there at Corinth? Because Claudius, who is the Roman emperor, had commanded that all the Jews departed from Rome. So here is a couple that had lived in Rome. They came from Pontus, but they got married and they went to Rome. And while they're living in Rome, they're trying to make a living. And the Roman emperor says, I hate Jews. I don't want any Jews here. If you're a Jew, you leave or we're going to make you leave. And so they left. Now, that's pretty rough, isn't it, to have to uproot everything and to leave? And now they're in Corinth. And Corinth, if you know history, is not a good place. It is one of the most wicked cities of the ancient world. And when we examine Corinth a little bit later, we'll explain how wicked and filthy and dirty this place is. It is a sailor's town. You ever hear the expression of a mouth like a sailor? Well, this is a sailor's town. It is very much a very wicked, vile place. And yet, in this wicked, vile place, displaced from the home and everything else, this is a couple that decided they're going to serve the Lord. They're going to be an encouragement to the preacher. They are going to live for the Lord in the midst of these hard times. So it wasn't that they had the easiest time. They were living in a much difficult situation than what we have. But that they determined they were still going to serve the Lord. We see, as we study Aquila and Priscilla, this is all introduction, by the way. We also see that they're a neglected couple. They never have their name in spotlights. They never have it in the marquee. They never get the pat in the back, per se. But they're a couple who works in the background. They're a couple that's determined that we're going to do what's right, even if we don't get noticed. You understand that not all will be famous, but all can make a difference. Not all will be famous, but all can make a difference. And this is one of those couples that most people who are not Bible believers, they've heard of Paul, they've heard of Peter. But who's this Aquila and Priscilla people? Who is this? But they made a huge difference in the life of the Apostle Paul. And we're going to examine the difference they made. Now, not only do we find them in the book of Acts, but if you're curious, we also find Aquila and Priscilla mentioned three other times in Scripture. And we're going to look at those. But Romans 16, we see them mentioned. And 1 Corinthians 16, we see them mentioned again. And then we also see them mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So here's a couple here that is mentioned all throughout Scripture because they keep showing up and they keep being a blessing to the preacher. Now, if you don't mind, we're going to do a character study and we're just going to examine and pull out some traits from their life as a couple, as a family, as a home, and we're going to apply them together. If you don't mind, the first thing I'd like to show you is that they serve the Lord together. They served the Lord together. I mentioned that after 1 Corinthians 18, every time you see them mentioned, they are always mentioned together. You'll never see Aquila without Priscilla. That what happened is that they determined they were going to serve God together. Now, this is important because there's sometimes maybe a young preacher boy says, bless God, I'm going to serve God, and he leaves his wife behind. That's never a good thing. That you want to be mentioned together. I am so thankful for my wife, and I hope that we are mentioned because I, without her, cannot do the things that God has given me to do. She is my helper. She does so many things. And that should be the thing with the home, is that they do stuff together, that they're automatically associated together. You don't think of one without thinking of the other, that they've both determined they're going to follow the Lord. Now, I understand different homes are in different situations, but this is the ideal thing, that both people in the couple, both of them decided, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to be all in. We're going to serve God together. We're going to push forward. But this was something interesting about Aquila and Priscilla, is that one of them is not mentioned without the other one mentioned, that they are partners together. They are a help to this as well. By the way, thankful for the Lord, God can change homes. Sometimes we may have a home that may not be where it should be. But let me tell you, God has a desire for that home. And if God has a desire for that home, we could pray and we can labor that God would put that home to where it should be. Isn't that a blessing? That God is a God of all hope. That it's not a boo-hoo, that my family is not where it should be. I understand that God can do so many things. He could change hearts. He could do so many things. We have a great God. And we could put a goal together. Wouldn't that be a great prayer, that maybe there's a husband and a wife and they're not necessarily the same direction? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the other one prays and says, God, my desire, my goal is for me and my partner to serve God together. Don't you think God would be blessed by that prayer? Don't you think God would be honored by that prayer? By the way, if you're single, you should be praying for that person now. We talk to the kids now, to the little kids. At 12-year-old, you're not looking to be married. I understand that. But you could be praying that whoever you're going to get married to, that they're already saved. They already have a desire to serve God, that God is already working on them, that they're already in a good place. And that by the time that you and that person meets, that you're both ready to serve God together. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? We can pray and we can make this a goal and make this a desire. I'm looking for someone not just to stand behind me and lift me up and everyone looks at me. I'm looking for someone that can serve with me and that we could do more things for God together than we could ever do apart. That's what we see with Aquila and Priscilla. Something else we see about Aquila and Priscilla is that they served God where they were. They served God where they were. Notice with me in verse number 3. And because he was of the same craft, that's Aquila, he was the same as Paul. Paul was the same of craft as them. He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Aquila and Priscilla, they weren't in full-time ministry. They had a full-time job. They made tents. They helped make dwellings. They helped build these places. And that was their full-time job. And yet, within their full-time job, they took every opportunity to serve where they were. My pastor used to have this saying, bloom wherever you're planted. Bloom wherever you're planted. That you may be at a place that you may not want to be. That's not where you see yourself in 5, 10, 20 years. But this is where God has placed you now. Bloom where you're planted. Take every opportunity. You know that God has placed you on that job, or God has placed you in that school, or God has placed you in that situation, so that way you can be used to influence others. So you could be a blessing where you're at. That God has put you in that place to reach people. And that's your time to maintain your testimony, to take divine opportunities. Do you understand that people don't turn off their emotions and they don't turn off their troubled lives when they go to school or when they go to work? You probably know that. That's impossible to do. That if someone's going through a hard time, they do bring that with them to work. You know, those are good times for us not to ignore them, but to put our arm around them and say, I'm praying for you. What can I do to be a blessing? How can I be a help? Now, by the way, let me take a little note. I'm not saying that you quit work and say, my job is not to do this typing anymore. My job is to go to each cubicle and just go visit with them. That's not what I'm saying. You be the very best worker and you have the very best testimony that you have at that job. But when you have a break, when you have an opportunity, influence those people. Care for them. It makes all the difference in the world that when you pass by them to acknowledge them, you know, instead of look down, don't look at me, to acknowledge them, to tell them that you're praying for them. Maybe stop them and say, how can I pray for you on? Well, they're an atheist. You let them get enough hard times, they'll ask anyone for prayer. What can I do to pray for you? What can I do to be a blessing? Smile. You need to make sure that the Lord's taking care of yourself. But bloom wherever you're planted. You are not where you are by accident. Not if you believe that God's on the throne and he knows what he's doing. You're not in that school by accident. You're not in that job by accident. You're not in that situation by accident. You know, some people say, oh no, it's the police officer. I was speeding. Oh no. And you get mad at the police officer. You understand they're doing their job? When's the last time you thanked them when you got a ticket? Thank you for doing your job. You may shock them enough, they may actually take that track. Officer, God allowed you to pull me over today. Now, don't go speeding on purpose. But God allowed you to pull me over today just so you could hear the good news. Do you know that Jesus died for you? Hey, they need a track too. You understand that sometimes you may be in a situation with a broken hand just so you could go witness to the doctor. Bloom wherever you're planted. Take advantage of those divine opportunities. Here's Aquila and Priscilla. They're not looking to be in full-time ministry. They're just doing their job. But Paul happened to meet them and says, hey, can I help with you guys? I'm a tent maker too. Please join us. And so they begin to make tents. And they begin to use that opportunity to witness people. And next thing you know, a little congregation, a little church began to be formed. Because they were just witnessing and being a blessing to where they were, just using those divine opportunities during their occupation. Something else we see about Aquila and Priscilla is that they supported the man of God in his difficulty. They supported the man of God in his difficulty. Notice with me as we fast forward the story to verse number 12. I'm going to hit verse number 12 to show some context. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So Paul's in trouble. He's being dragged before the governor of this region. And he's brought, the Jewish people are saying, this Paul, he's causing problems. We want him taken care of. Notice, we're not going to take time to go in the story, but I'm trying to show the context. Paul's in trouble. He's standing before the governor, that's a big deal. But notice Aquila and Priscilla, verse number 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and he took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shown his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Do you know that even though Paul got into trouble, by the way, it wasn't his fault to be in trouble, he's just doing what he's supposed to. You know what Aquila and Priscilla said? No, 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 that's not my pastor. Nope, 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 I don't know him. They, even though he was in trouble, even though spiritual warfare came, even those came, they decided they were going to stand with their pastor. They were going to stand with their man of God. They were going to stand with the person that God has given them. That even though maybe it's a church thing, that there's so many people in the church, they're against pastor. Well, he's the man of God that God gave us. We're going to stand with him. We're going to be with him. They made a decision that they're going to stand. They're going to be with the man of God. They're going to support him even in the hard times. You know, it's easy to support a preacher when everything's going well and everyone's happy. It's a little bit harder when it seems like some of the people are against the pastor. Well, he may not be perfect, but he's my pastor and I'm going to stand with him. I'm going to support the man of God. That's something there. This is the quality, the people that they had of Aquila and Priscilla, that they were going to support the man of God even in his difficulty, that they were with him. Remember, strong families will equal strong churches. You ever have a church that the families are against the pastor? It weakens the church. It weakens. It makes it a war zone. It makes it so there's no stability. To have families that say, right or wrong, we believe our pastor's trying to do his best. He's not perfect. We're going to stand with him. That strengthens a church. Rather than having a church full of people said, we're going to wait and see if this guy's going to fall and make a fool of himself or not, and then we'll kick him. You know, when they're not with him. You know, there's a difference between being an observer and being with him. They were with him. They were with him. And that helped strengthen the churches up. And they were the couple that led the way. That they were with him. Something else that we see about Aquila and Priscilla is that they were in the synagogue to hear the word of God. They were in the synagogue to hear the word of God. Now, they were Jewish people, and at that time, the Jewish synagogues is where they went to go hear the word of God. Today, we have the New Testament church where they come to hear the word of God. But they were in their place, and they were ready to hear the word of God. Notice with me in verse number 26. Verse number 26. It says, and he, this is Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue of whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Where did they hear him at? They heard him in the synagogue. They took unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They went and they were there to hear the word of God. They were expecting to hear the word of God. We see that with Aquila and Priscilla all throughout the scriptures. Notice with me in verse number 4. And he, that's Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. That's the same passage of Aquila and Priscilla being with him. They went to go hear Paul in the synagogue. They went to go hear Apollos in the synagogue. And verse number 9, they went and stayed at the house of the guy whose house was fastened to the synagogue. They were there in their place ready to hear the word of God. They were had determined, we're going to be there. We're going to be faithful. We want to hear the word of God. We're hungry for it. That was something about Aquila and Priscilla. Something else that we see about Aquila and Priscilla, just doing a character study, is that they took others and taught them what they had been taught. They took others and then taught them what they had been taught. Notice with me in the book of Acts chapter 18. Notice with me verse 24. Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And the next two verses, Apollos goes out and teaches more people the word of God that this is Christ. But what happened is that Apollos, who was an Old Testament preacher, came to the synagogue and he began to open the Bible. And he was a great Bible preacher. And Aquila and Priscilla said, preacher, we just really enjoyed you taking the Bible. And they took him aside and says, now, you said this, a lot of stuff about the baptism of John. Have you heard about Jesus? Well, I've heard about Jesus. Well, can I take the Bible and show you, preacher, a little bit more about what Paul taught us? Absolutely. And they showed him the way of God more perfectly. You see, this was a couple that was willing to be a blessing, to take someone else who was missing some knowledge, to lovingly pull them aside. They didn't go up to them and say, preacher, you're wrong. You're just out of your mind. You don't know some things that we know. There was an attitude. They were trying to help. They were trying to be a blessing. They pulled them unto him. That's a clear picture. They pulled him to them. And then they opened the Bible and said, let me help you. They taught someone else what they had been taught. Paul taught Aquila and Priscilla, then Aquila and Priscilla taught someone else the same things that they were taught. We kind of call this discipleship, but they had determined that they were going to be a blessing. That they're not having a gossip session, they're not having a roast the preacher session. But they pull them aside and says, I think we could be a blessing to you. Let's be a blessing. Let's show you some things that were taught to us that we think would be a help to you. And they did it with an attitude that was a help to the preacher, not tearing him down. This is the kind of character, the kind of things that Aquila and Priscilla had. Something else that we see here is that they helped the preacher. They helped the preacher. Notice with me as we turn to a different book, the book of Romans chapter 16. The book of Romans, chapter 16. The Apostle Paul is writing the book of Romans to the church that is at Rome. Paul had never been there yet, but Aquila and Priscilla had visited a couple times. And as he's giving his salutations at the very end, Paul usually says all the greetings, all the people that say hi and how are you doing, some people that are praying for you. And Romans 16, as he's wrapping this letter up, notice what he says in Romans 16 in verses 3 and 4. Notice this, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also to the churches of the Gentiles. So Paul's writing this letter and he says, hey, I know Aquila and Priscilla is part of the church of Rome right there. They're part of the church. You make sure you tell them hi from me. And by the way, let me tell you how important they are. That they helped me. They were my helpers in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about that couple that's in that church. They would personally helped me out in my times of trouble. They cared for me. How much so? Verse number 4, they gave for my, or who have for my life laid down their own necks. Hey, they were willing to risk their own necks to help me out. They were willing to risk it all to help me. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles. He says, you know how important this couple is? You may not realize they don't put their names in lights. They don't flash that I was helper of Paul. They're there just trying to do what they're supposed to. But they were such a help to the pastor that because of what they did, it allowed me not only to move forward, but it allowed me to start all these churches because of that couple took the time to help the pastor, to support the pastor. Because of their labor, because of their support, because of their love, I was able to accomplish so much. They decided they were going to be a help to the preacher. Man, what a great testimony it was. And I know Aquila and Priscilla is not looking for this, but Paul thought it was important to tell that church what this couple have done and how important their efforts were to support the preacher during those times, that they helped the preacher. Something else that we see about Aquila and Priscilla is that they involved their whole house in the work of the Lord. And I put house in quotes. They involved their whole house in the work of the Lord. Notice with me Romans 16, where we're reading in verse number 5. They're still saluting Aquila and Priscilla. Verse number 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. You want to know where the church of Rome was meeting at? It wasn't a nice building like this. They were meeting in Aquila and Priscilla's house. They literally involved all of their house. If you're going to serve the Lord, you should involve your whole house. If possible, get your kids involved. There are things for kids to do, right, kids? Like we made you work yesterday. There are things for you to do. Get them involved. Get them putting pennies into the penny thing. Let them know that church is something we all do. This is a big deal. This is something important. Involve your whole house. Make your house available, by the way, to be a blessing to others. Involve everything that you have. Say it's all the Lord's anyways. I'm going to use my car to bring people to the Lord. I'm going to use my house to encourage people to be faithful. I'm going to do everything I can, everything I have available for the Lord's work. Notice as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see the same thing mentioned. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. It was 1 Corinthians. Oh, that's why. Looking in the wrong verse, that would help. 1 Corinthians 16, notice with me in verse number 19. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. It says, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, which with the church that is in their house. Once again, wherever they went, they got a house for the purpose of having the church meet in their house. Again, they didn't have nice buildings like this. This was a couple that was sold out to the Lord. And they said, God can use our place to have people gather. They can use our place. This is something consistent. They involved their whole house in serving the Lord. Something else that we see about Aquila and Priscilla is that they tried to encourage others. They tried to encourage others. 1 Corinthians 16, 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, Paul says, I salute you. But let me tell you, Aquila and Priscilla, they salute you much. Man, they want to let you know they want to encourage you. They want to let you know they want you to keep going forward. They tried to encourage others. This isn't just a greeting. They did everything they could to encourage others in the Lord. We need churches like that. We have families that are going to encourage others to keep going forward, to encourage others to move forward for the Lord. Something else, and the last thing I want to show you in dealing with Aquila and Priscilla, notice with me 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. Let's see something about Aquila and Priscilla. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Now remember, 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. He's in a Roman prison. This time he is going to die. Luke is with him. We talked about Dr. Luke, that everyone's abandoned him. Only Luke is with him. He's asked Timothy to bring Mark. But what is going to happen shortly after Paul writing this letter is that Paul is going to die. He is going to be beheaded by Nero. He's going to be taking a shortcut to glory. And as he's writing this letter, I want you to see someone who's still serving God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. So here, Paul is ready to die. It's the end for him. Everyone else has quit. Demas has left, forsaking him, loving this present world. Other people have quit on Paul. But Aquila and Priscilla, they're still serving God. Even to the very end, they're serving God. That they didn't stop, they finished right. They finished right. You know, even older people can still serve God. And they could still be used to encourage others. And they could still be used to encourage the preacher. And they could still be used to strengthen up the church. That they finished right. We see this couple that together they serve God. They encourage the preacher. They strengthen up the church. They did everything they could to help those individual local churches to move forward. And this is a type of couple that we should desire the families in our church to be. That they're together, they're moving forward, they're being used of God. As we celebrate Father's Day today, we think about fathers, and with it we also think of homes. The homes need to be strengthened today. That people need to make a decision that say, my home may not be the best it is, but what's going to happen is, for me, we're going to do the best we can to serve God. We're going to start from where we are. We're going to move forward. If we have a family member that's not where they're supposed to do, we're going to pray that God brings them to the place where they're supposed to be. But we're going to say, for everything that we have in our home, we're going to use for the Lord. We're going to be an encouragement. We're going to allow God to use us. When we have strong homes, we will have strong churches. And if we want this church to be strengthened even more, and we've got a strong church, we want to work on strengthening homes even more so we could do even more things for the Lord in His sake. I pray that this was an encouragement as we study this married couple in the Bible and be an encouragement to us to keep moving forward. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.